What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Two Dudes of Sports News. As always, my name is Garrett. I'm here with my co-host.
What it do? What it do? This is Jalen Prince.
So we might have a surprise coming for y'all later in the episode. We will see. But in the meantime, let's talk a couple different things. Jalen, man, take us away. You got some Jerry Jones news you wanted to get into?
It's not even cowboy related. So according to On Three, actually, according to Trilly Donovan, Jerry Jones is reported offering double whatever the Kentucky commits were making to come to Arkansas to play for newly acquired head coach, Naismith Hall of Fame coach John Calipari. Jerry Jones has been an Arkansas fan for a long time. I think he even graduated from there. So huge booster backing for the Bacon Bits basketball program. My only relation to this is you typically, whatever Jerry Jones does, don't really bother me a whole lot because it ain't got nothing to do with me. Arkansas is in the same conference as Alabama. This got a lot to do, and this guy has a lot to do with us. And I just see this as a way for Arkansas is going to be able to recruit because they got Calipari. They just moved on from Eric Musselman, who's at USC, and John Calipari is going to be able to have that big pocketbook, that big wallet. Have his back. He got the Tyson Food Company plucked, and not to mention, oh my God, they make good chicken. And you got Jerry Jones, so the sky's the limits for like just the potential as far as what as far as what the Razorback's gonna be able to get. That NIL is gonna be insane for that basketball program.
Absolutely, man.
But also they're desperate.
Well, yeah, they need something, and if Jerry Jones wants to fork over some Cowboys money, then I'll see why not. We'll see how this plays out. We'll see what happens. We'll see how everybody, I don't know. I'm interested. I'm interested to see how this plays out. So, I don't know, man. It's You can't buy a win, though. That's the thing.
You
Like,
can't.
you can't buy a win. You can't buy a win. You can sink as much money to this thing as you can. But at the end of the day, if it ain't working, it ain't working. So, I don't know, man. That's where I'm at. But we definitely got to talk some NBA playoff stuff because one of your sleeper teams ain't making it too far this year. Without playoff Jimmy.
Tell the story.
So Jimmy Butler has a is it a torn MCL?
Sprain MCL.
Okay, so a sprained MCL, but it says it's gonna be out for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So he's gonna be out for the bulk of the playoffs, even if they find a way to sneak or sneak by. And if I'm correct,
Yep.
they got what do they got? They got the Bull or they gotta play the Bulls tonight.
The Bulls tomorrow.
Tomorrow, sorry. Well, after this comes out, it'll have already happened. So they got the Bulls. If they win, they got the Celtics.
Yep.
So for me, I mean, I think my Celtics got it, man. I think we're going to be in the finals. I just don't know who in the West is going to be there. The West is just that much more competitive. It's Celtics were in last month. Like, we could have lost every game last month and still made it. Like, the East is not as competitive as the West right now, in my opinion. And I don't even think it's an opinion. I think it's a fact. Like, it's the Celtics and then it's everybody else. So.
Yeah, I think I might get it because I'm not gonna pick the Knicks. The
No.
Sixers, maybe, but that's a long shot. The Pacers, we gotta see if they're I'm gonna say no, even though they have like talent and capability, they don't have the experience enough to be able to play it when the game slows down. Milwaukee got their own issues. Orlando is in the same boat as the Pacers are, and the Cavs, they just come and go. Like they got capability, but they just come and go. And I don't know. Like that's just the basis of it. Like I have no idea.
I mean, for me,
So I
like
think,
I.
yeah, the East is literally the Celtics to lose.
Oh, absolutely. The East is ours to lose at this point. And I mean, for me, like who Lakers have the Nuggets, right?
Lakers will play the Nuggets. They defeated the Pelicans in a tight matchup. Zion got hurt, and he's also out for Friday's matchup against the
Yep.
Sacramento Kings. And we'll get to the Kings and the Warriors a little bit later on. But the Lakers, they will face the Nuggets in the first round rematch of last year's Western Conference Finals. They'll play Saturday. Most likely, it'll be on ABC. Let me ask you this: what chance do you get the Lakers to upset the Nuggets?
Zero. Absolutely zero. They had eight chances to beat him this year and they couldn't do it. Not once. Unless I'm misremembering, which I've been wrong before, and I'm willing to bet every dollar I've ever made, I'm gonna be wrong again. But I don't see the Lakers beating the Nuggets. I really don't. It's gonna, to me, it comes down to the Nuggets and the Thunder in the or in the Western, excuse me, Western Conference Finals.
Can't even go there, and I would like to, but I definitely wouldn't. Right now, I would say Nuggets are gonna beat the Lakers. I'm gonna say 5 games, maybe. I could possibly see another sweep because as great as LeBron is, especially during playoff time, Anthony Davis is playing really great basketball right now on both sides of the ball. I'm trusting the Nuggets supporting cast, and I'm trusting that if Jamal Murray is still hot shooting in the playoffs the way he's been doing in the playoffs since 2020,
Right.
you're not stopping the Nuggets. I see the Nuggets winning in five. And
For
when I look at
sure.
the East Conference, if the Pelicans were to beat Sacramento tomorrow, I see the Thunder getting out of the first round. But if the Kings win against the Pelicans Friday or tomorrow, I would pick the Kings over the Thunder.
Really?
Yeah, I would pick them.
Think the
I would
Thunder.
pick them, but that would be a 7-game series.
I
I
think this.
think I got.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's going to be interesting. It's really going to be interesting with the Thunder to see how they're going to play in the playoffs. I know Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's going to show up. But also, this is Chet Holmgren's. This is his first time in the playoffs. How is he going to be able to handle it? Everybody else has gotten some type of playoff play-in experience last season. However, this is big time now, and you're the number one seed. So we're about to find out. And it's going to be interesting to see, but until we actually see it, right now I would say I will pick the Kings to beat the Thunder, but if they face the Pelicans without Zion, I'm picking the Thunder.
I'm taking the Thunder over both. It to me, I see. How do I put this? The disrespect coming to the Thunder right now to me is crazy. Like, I know you saw that article the other day, or that Twitter poll the other day, where somebody said, "Oh, this is, the worst one seed to ever come out of the West." Like,
Somebody
they're.
put the Twitter poll up. Yeah, Shannon Sharp actually, he actually said live that this is the weakest one seed ever.
Sleep on them. Keep sleeping on them, man. Thunder are gonna do something. SGA is gonna show up. This team is young and they're already a one seed. Like, can you imagine what ha do I think they win it? No, I don't. But I think the Thunder can make a push for the Western Conference Finals. And I think that this team, since they're so young, they'll find their weak spots. They'll find the players that don't need to be there anymore, and they'll continue to build and continue to get better and get deeper. And they're going to be a scary team for a while, man. The West is the West is competitive. The West is very competitive, especially in regards to the East. Because the Bucks, I mean, in my opinion, you and I talked about this before the season even started. I told you that the Celtics were going to win the conference. I told you that the Celtics were going to be the best team in the East. And I was like, there's something about that Bucks team I don't trust. I don't
Well,
trust him.
the injuries kicked in with the Bucks, but
For sure.
we got especially with Giannis and Damian Lillard reported not happy right now. But we'll see. But in the meantime, we got to move on.
No, for sure. And Dame, that I love Dame, but that's where I'm at with it. So let's keep moving, man. 2 minute take. 2 minute take this week, for those who don't know, our 2 minute take is something where we don't want to get too into it. We just have an opinion or a thought, and we kind of go for it that way. My 2 minute take is I am sick and tired of every, and this happens every single year. There's always one player that somehow this magical report comes out about how horrible a person he is in the locker room or off the field, where there's all these concerns. And you know what's crazy? Consistently, consistently, that is rarely, if ever, the problem child of the draft, or the person that you actually need to be concerned about. This year, it's A.D. Mitchell. There's been reports coming out that A.D. Mitchell is hard to coach, or he's, irritable and angry. He's hard to get to watch film when, he's diabetic, so his insulin level gets low. So if he doesn't take his insulin, he has issues. Yeah, that's a very common thing with diabetics, but also, like, throw the kid a PB&J before film. Keep a trainer here, but you don't think someone's going to have a trainer just assigned to make sure this kid's taking his insulin in the morning? Making sure it's level? Like, are you serious? That's what we're doing. We're going to cost this kid millions of dollars by tanking his stock to go to the second round, and he's going to have a great career, and he's not going to have any
Bro,
problems.
here's my take on when it comes to guys that are reportedly bad in the locker room. What the heck what they think this is gonna do? They're not the quarterback,
No.
so they're not. To me, they're not gonna be like that much of a negative impact. I feel like more of the veterans are gonna be able to straighten that dude out.
Yeah.
So like, if he reportedly say it's bad in the locker room, which I don't believe that to be the case, but then again, I'm not there. Then let the vets handle that. Let the coaches handle that.
Right.
Either way, the dude is a really good talent. He can make contested catches. He can gain separation. He's made big time catches within his college career. He's proven that he is one of the top five receivers in this draft. So if you want to pass up him because he's quote unquote reported by some of these reporters that he's bad in the locker room, albeit, let him go.
And like, and
You might
here's my
miss out on
thing.
one of the best ones.
Here's my thing with it too. What happened last year with Jalen Carter? We're
Yep.
going longer than 2 minutes, but I got a bone to pick here.
Yep.
Happened last year with Jalen
Yep.
Carter. Everybody was talking about how he, was going to be a distraction, how he had issues, how he had off-field concerns with that accident that happened. To my understanding, he's been a model citizen on that team.
Yep.
What happened to Stetson Bennett? Stetson Bennett had to take a step away from football, and I'm not knocking him for doing this. I respect him for doing this and understanding that there was an issue that had to be handled, and there's no confirmation or
Yep.
anything, but he did what was best for him and his health, and he recognized a problem, and I have nothing but respect for that. I am not knocking him for stepping away when he knew he had to step away. I have the utmost respect for that. But no one thought that that was going to come from him. Henry Ruggs is another example. There were no issues or concern, or Rashee Rice, no issue concerns of these guys coming into the draft.
That was a mistake that cost them, and that cost people their lives.
Yeah.
And cost him his career. Yeah.
Yeah. And Rashee Rice, no one had
What a
any
dumb mistake.
concerns about things or coming to the draft with him. Get here, he is with a, I mean, it's a slap on the wrist, bond and arrest warrant, but he's drag racing, stuff like that. It's to me. And I'll wrap it up because I'm on my soapbox right now. To me, this happens every year, and it's never this guy who ends up being the problem. So that's slow news day. Let's cut it out. Let's move on. Let's talk WNBA draft. What were your thoughts?
We already know. First off, Caitlin Clark, we already knew she was going to be the first overall pick to the Indiana Fever. That was already solidified. It was said and done. After that, Cameron Brink was number two. Angel Reese was, I believe, number seven to the Chicago Sky. Camila Cardoza out of South Carolina. She was also selected by the Chicago Sky. By the Chicago Sky. I think with the fourth or fifth round pick, So we kind of already knew what was going to transpire. My takeaway from that draft was, one, everybody looked good. Two, just there was a conversation about just how much pressure Caitlin Clark has going into her first season. It's and I was taken back by saying, like, she got pressure within her whole entire career, and not just her. Now she got the majority of it, but Angel Reese, she got pressure. Cordoza, she got pressure. When Juju and Paige Bueker, when they get into the league, they got pressure, because right now the next few draft classes in the WNBA have a chance to change the polarization of the WNBA. Caitlin Clark can be the Magic Johnson. Like, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese could be the Magic Johnson and Larry Bird of the WNBA, where they changed the whole future of the WNBA, not on the court, but off the court and on the court, as far as as far as like getting season tickets up. Getting like endorsements, getting more endorsements for the league, getting more money, revenue for the league. They have a chance to do that, because the problem with the WNBA right now is not that they play bad basketball. It's not that.
No.
They're not as entertaining as the other leagues, and they got to be able to get that entertainment base up. And the way you do that, you got to have rivalries.
You
And
gotta have
right now,
characters.
you got some rivals. You got to have characters. You got to have some storylines. And now you're going to get them with the class that's coming in, especially that's led by Caitlin Clark. So right now, I'm excited about the WNBA. You're going to get more season ticket holders this season. Well, my issue is all the fake outcry, all the fake, man, you go.
Let's get into this, man. So, to me, and th this is I will okay. So, where this is stemming from, this fake, outcry and this fake mad stuff that Jalen and I are talking
Fake
about,
outrage,
the
fake
fake
outrage.
outrage, where this is coming from is from Caitlin Clark's contract. Now, for those who don't know it, I'm the contract talk guy. We've been doing it all since this whole thing started. I'll make it very, very quick. Her CBA for most professional leagues, there is a set contract of maximum money made per pick. If you look at the CBA agreement for the WNBA, the top picks or the first four picks get the same amount of money. It is starting a year one salary of $76,535 for the first four picks. Then it goes down by a couple thousand or 3,000 almost every single time. A little over 3,000, but you get my point. This was agreed to by the players. Now, for the people who are upset about this, for how much money she's going to bring the sport, for how much attention she's going to bring the sport, understand this. First of all, she just allegedly got an eight-figure Nike endorsement deal, which is great, 100% well deserved. But where I stand on this, if you're actually outraged by this, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, then give the WNBA more revenue. It's plain and simple. The way these salaries work are based on revenue. The reason why the NFL salary cap keeps going up is because the NFL keeps getting more and more revenue. The reason why baseball can do these multi-billion dollar, or not billion, multi-million dollar contracts is because the revenue keeps going up. NBA revenue keeps going up. MLS revenue is getting a little bit better. But if you look at all of these leagues, that's the reason why, is because all the money that comes in, and it didn't happen overnight. If you actually are upset about this and you actually want to change things, first of all, understand it's going to take a minute. But start watching on TV, start streaming it off YouTube. If you are able to and you want to, buy season tickets to your local team. CeeLo and I were talking about this the other day. Somebody told him to, if he likes the Fever so much, and go buy tickets. That's like asking me or you to buy, Chargers tickets. You and I do not live in Los Angeles. There is no reason for us to buy those tickets, but we can watch on TV. We can watch this way. We can watch these games on TV. You can buy the WNBA media package if you want. If you want to go to a game every now and then, man, go to a game every now and then. Just find a way to get revenue into that league. And slowly over time, as more and more comes in, things will change and that salary cap is going to increase. Right now, Jalen, you're 100% correct. The WNBA is primed for this renaissance of the sport. With all these people coming in, all these athletes are huge draws. Caitlin Clark, Cameron Brink, Camila Cardoso, Angel Reese, and then coming in, Ju or Juju, Paige Bueckers, and people who come in before them. They are primed with talent. They are primed with players. They are primed with draws. And if they capitalize on this correctly, the WNBA is about to be a force on a media level. And I'm excited, man. This could be fun. This could be fun to watch.
The WNBA, the clock is on them. They have an opportunity right here. They have an
100%.
opportunity to learn from the NBA on how to market their stars.
100%.
They have an opportunity to get into the entertainment business with the players in which they got. And there are some stories there. Right now, the Indiana Fever has already got 36 national television games. That's most. That's a lot. It's already starting. It's up to the WNBA. It's up to Caitlin Clark to make sure that the performances are there. The advertising is there. The marketing is there. The storytelling is there. They have to be able to milk this. As far as the salary goes, we already know. Clark, she got our endorsements in Nike, State Farm, Gatorade, Xfinity, the
It's
rest,
coming.
the
She's gonna
list
be
goes
fine.
on and on. She only gonna get paid $338,056 in her first 4 years. People are outraged up. People are fake outraged about it because majority of those people are not going to the games.
No.
But they just wanna be mad about something, which is understandable
They're gonna be
because
mad.
it's America, you got free will to do it.
Absolutely. They're gonna be mad, but they're not gonna do anything to fix it. And that's the thing. That's why we're saying fake
And that's,
outrage. They're
yeah.
gonna they're
So, like,
good.
Caitlin, I said this. I was thinking about it. I was watching ESPN First Take, and I forgot her name, but she said Caitlin Clark has no pressure going into her career. No, she has a lot of pressure going into her NBA career. Angel Reese got pressure going into her NBA career. Cardoza has pressure going into her NBA career. Cameron Brink has pressure going into their NBA career. It's not about what they do on the court anymore because they're going to handle their business. As far as level of play goes, that's a different topic. But because they're coming, because they have came into the WNBA as big names, as stars. And that has changed the college football, college basketball landscape of it, women's college basketball, that is. They're coming in with immense pressure because they have an opportunity and they are the key to changing the popularity within the WNBA and bring those set of stars into the NBA and get and make that and make them box office to make them big draws in the WNBA. So that way the WNBA can finally make enough money and get in like players within the league get what they have so longly have earned. But
Absolutely.
because they have not been able to do that in years past, they're not gonna get the money. And they got to quit looking out for handouts because right now the reputation of the WNBA has basically kind of been a whole handout type seeking where it's the issue of they should get paid more. What have you done to earn it? Is your value up? The value of the WNBA is not that is not where a lot of people will want it to be. Now they have the pieces to make the value go up, be
Right.
worth something.
100%.
Let's see if
It's
they do.
that I think they will. If they're smart, I think they will. And I think they are smart. If they weren't smart, they wouldn't be in the position they're in. I think this is we're going to call it the WNBA Renaissance, honestly. This is the time where it is going to rival? Because right now, what are the big four sports? It's football, it's baseball, it's
NFL,
basketball, and it's hockey.
MLB, NBA, NHL.
Believe, yeah, I think if they play their cards right, the WNBA can potentially knock the NHL out of the big four.
We'll see.
If
It's
they
gonna be a
play their
reach, but we'll see.
cards right, and it's again, it's not going to be immediate, but in the next 4 to 5 years, if they work this right, they could potentially become the fourth big sport. And I think it could happen. But let's keep going, man. You know what's next Thursday?
What?
It's the most wonderful time of the year for football fans. It's the
NFL.
draft,
NFL
baby.
draft.
Let's go. I'm excited, man. First of all, shout out Trent Baalke for farting on camera. That was fun today. Did you hear about that?
No.
Mid press conference, the man is mid speech, just da -da 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 -da, and sorry, excuse me, and then just went back into it, and we're all like, "What? What was that?"
Hey, you gotta be a professional. Hey, but listen, who got the most pressure going into the NFL draft this year?
I don't think it's the Bears. Let's go down the list. I don't think it's the Bears. I don't think it's the Cardinals. Yeah, here's what we're gonna do. We're just gonna go right down the list of the picks by or the teams by round, just as I'm trying to think. So it ain't the Bears. It's not the Commanders. It's not the Patriots. It's not the Cardinals. It's not the Chargers. It's not the Giants. Sure. Dang sure ain't the Titans. Enjoy the bottom of the division again. It's not the Falcons. It's not the Jets. It's not the Vikings. Actually,
All right, so to
it
me, Washington has the most pressure going into the draft. They got to get the quarterback right. That's why I'm putting pressure on them. You got your coach. You went out, you made some moves. You got a few guys from Dallas who won a division last year. And you're basically close to trying to be relevant whatsoever. And you still have some talent on the defensive end. Offensively, you got scary Terry McLaughlin, McLaurin, and you got what's that dude's name from Penn State? Jahan Dotson.
Jahan Dotson's
You got
good.
weapons on the outside, Logan Thomas.
I think he retired.
So you have the capability, but you got to get. No, Logan Thomas. Wait.
Did he
Yeah, he might
retire?
retire.
I
But
feel like he
we'll have to go back
retired.
and see. But to me, the problem with Washington was their offensive line and their quarterback. They gotta get both of them right. I'm putting pressure on Washington to have a they gotta have a B plus draft or above. And then they gotta start going competing to a high I'm going Washington.
Okay. Logan Thomas is a free agent right now, I think. I don't think he's on a team. Yeah, he's a free agent right now. He got cut or released. I don't know. He's not retired though. But to me, like Washington, that's fair. To me, I think the Jets are up there. I'll give you my three right now. It's the Jets, it's the Jags, it's the Bengals. And here's why. The Jets, you just sunk a ton of money into Rodgers. You're going to have to start paying that man soon if you're not paying him already. You've got a young core. You got a coach who's used every excuse under the book. It's about time. It's about time to see if Saleh's the coach or not. For the Jaguars, the window is now. It's right now. And Baalke seems to have been making moves. He's been starting to do or make some moves in free agency. He's been restructuring people. There's talks about us trying to re-sign Trevor to a long-term contract before the draft. He wants to be in Jacksonville. He wants to be here long-term, and I'm cool with that. where I'm at, this season, Baalke and Peterson's jobs hang in the balance. And the reason why is because this division overnight got a whole lot more competitive. I am not ready to crown the Texans kings of the, I'll give them offseason championship, sure, but we talked about it time and time again. How many times has offseason championship returned actual championships? Sure, I'll give you the offseason championship crown, but that doesn't mean anything. Right now, the division is tight. The AFC South division is one of the more competitive ones in the league right now, with the Jaguars, with the Texans, with the Colts. Titans are a little bro, but they're going to get it together eventually. And then the Bengals, just because, you've got the weapons, you got the players, you lost Joe Mixon in free agency or trade, technically. That window's now for y'all too. You going to capitalize? You're not going to capitalize. So those are the three teams I think have the most pressure in the draft, but that's just me. But I'm excited for the draft, man. I'm always excited. I'm super interested to see who goes where. It's everybody is trying to come up with these crazy scenarios and headlines.
Especially, I think the most interesting thing, who's going to be the first to either trade up or trade down? Because that's one of the most unpredictable things, unless it actually happens, prior to the draft. So that's going to be one of the things I'm going to watch. We got to move on to our last topic, which is, are the Warriors Big Three? It's the era of the Warriors. Last night they were in every which way. They look flat out old. Outside of Steph Curry, who Steph was able to put up he was able to put up 22. He did a lot that he could. But Draymond Green only scored 12 points. He was 4 for 8 trying to do what he could. He had 6 assists. But the story of the game was Klay Thompson. You played 32 minutes. You were 0 for 10 from the field. You were 0 for 6 from three. But he didn't score a point. And we know Klay Thompson has been one of the best players in NBA history at the two guard position. I mean, being like Klay Thompson, his career, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest shooters of all time. He's five-time All-Star, four-time champion, two-time All-NBA, 2018 and one, like one-time first team and one-time first team All-Defensive team. The dude has been spectacular. But ever since after his torn ACL, then the Achilles injury, from 2019 to 2021.
It's not the same.
He ain't like we understood he ain't been the same as far as a defensive guy, but now when his 3-point shot is starting to fall, that's a problem.
Right.
And we saw too many times this season where he was not good shooting the ball, and that's very hard to say that about Klay Thompson. And after what we saw last night, the Warriors got to make some moves,
They will.
or else like. Or is they just gonna get left behind? But I gotta say right now, I think the Warriors' Big Three is over.
100%. To me, I think the only one who stays in Golden State right now is Steph. I think Draymond's gone. I think Klay's gone. I think Steph is the only one who stays. And I think you trade them for either young pieces or, I don't know. Do you blow it up? Because I don't think Steph's going to stay for a full rebuild. He's 36. He doesn't have much left in him. And that's not me being disrespectful to one of the Steph is arguably the greatest shooter of all time. That's not me trying to be disrespectful towards Steph, but you got to think about it. He's 36. Not many people play past 36. Not many people play to 36. He's got maybe 3 to 4 years left before he's got to hang him up. If you're the coach, I mean, honestly, what I would do is be like, look, you've done everything for this franchise. You brought a ton into this franchise. Here's what we're doing. You have two choices. We're going to get rid of Klay and Dre, and we're going to start to rebuild around you, or we're going to blow this whole thing up. And you could stay for the rebuild, or we'll do right by you. What do you think?
I think they should move on, but I won't be surprised if they don't. Steph has already said he want to keep everybody. He's gonna have their back. That's what Steph is gonna do. But as of right now, it is literally him by himself. Jonathan Kuminga is still developing, and we're seeing flashes of it. The Warriors just messed up on a few drafts. The James Wiseman, like they never should have tried to get him.
No.
They like he didn't fit what they he didn't fit what they love to do, what that system is based on doing. I mean, he had the talent. They saw the talent and the potential, and this is like one of my issues with the NBA draft because everybody is so fixated on the potential part rather than some teams trying to get guys that fit and whatnot. So this is where the Warriors are at right now. I don't know what moves they're gonna make, but like I do see this being the end of the Warriors' big three.
100%. I agree with you 100%. Like, to me, there's no way they stay together. And Steph is gonna say that because Steph has to say that. And I get that him, Klay, and Dre have been together forever. But I think it's time. It's time to move on from a piece or two, or just blow the whole thing up, man. Blow the whole thing up, keep a rebuild. And see if Steph wants to stick around. But
We'll see.
that's it for me, man. You got anything else you want to get into? Nothing else you want to get into?
Nah.
All right, man. Well, let's close it out. If you like the show, tell everyone you know. Tell your friends, your family, your relatives, crazy ex-boyfriends or girlfriends. I don't know. Tell everyone you know. Tell everyone you keep in contact with. Tell me your new favorite sports show and that you love it. If you didn't like it, treat it like a bad date. It's not us, it's you. It's not you, it's us. Whatever helps you feel better. No reason to take it out about it. Go blast, all of your, or like all the stuff to your friends. Talk about everything, Oh, I didn't like it. They have bad opinions. Okay, that's fine. But if you think we have good opinions, think we have good takes, you like the show, you like the back and forth, 5-star reviews, that's the best way to let us know. Whatever platform you're listening to, comment, leave a little rating. That's just, I feed the algorithm gods. Don't know why it works, but it does. If you like our show, a couple of the shows you may like. Or, just some friends of the show as well. That's how we do our shout outs at the end of the show. It's also people who rate us 5 stars and retweet the show and talk about it that way. If you want to get a shout out or by retweeting the show, hit us up at TDS and Pod on Twitter. Follow us there. It's where you see all the interactions with us. If you want to see a show similar to us and listen to it, go check out Jim over at Fan of the Van. Go check out the show him and I do as well called Steel and Teal. Go check out Brent and Dave over at 1420 Sports, the guys at the BS in Sports podcast, Aaron at Brutally Honest Sports, Nate's Daily Wager. If you're looking to gamble responsibly, don't bet the house. Darian over at Chill Takes, Dave and John of Love of the Playing Field, the guys of the WeX Sports Podcast, E-Man over at Average Joe Sports. Go check out the show he does with Jim called Cigar and Sports about once every few weeks. Great show. If you're looking for wrestling stuff, go check out John over at Wrestling Fan Insight. If you're looking to do something in Vegas, go check out Visit Vegas Places. Go check out the Stupid History Minute. I feel like I missed you last episode, man. I got you this week. And always, always, always go check out Sports After Dark. Hop on YouTube, hop in the Twitter space. It's draft season, man. Things are about to come up. They're about to have their state of the conferences coming out. I'm excited. But that's it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And as always, we'll see you next time.
Peace.